What is in this Mad Cat's bag anyway?
Welcome to episode 119 of the OneWare Podcastle. We're part of the VG Evo Podcast Network, and I'm Jason Lamb, your resident Canadian, and I don't know where my socks are.
They're probably on your feet. My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I am the one who have set us up the bomb.
My name is Jonathan Higgins. I'm the guy you see on every single live episode of this show in the comment section, and my hobbies include skateboarding, throwing tomahawks, and riding on dinosaurs.
Wow. Now, do you ride on the dinosaurs while skateboarding? Like, is the dinosaur
and throwing tomahawks?
I mean, the dinosaurs are a lot faster than the skateboards, so they're my preferred method of travel.
Fair enough.
I mean, they're pretty fierce. They get stuff done. But if you, like, touch a rock with one of them, they just poof, they're gone. Like, I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I need to keep better track of my dinosaur squad. Are all of my Hudson Soft references doing anything for you guys?
I got
guys?
It. I yes. got it.
So I thought you were going for like a Pokemon thing.
It was Bonk, wasn't it? It was Bonk?
I missed it.
That would be a far reach.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Yeah,
a little
good.
Bit.
It's all good. Bonk.
Hudson Soft doesn't exist anymore, so it doesn't...
I wish they did, too.
I miss Bomberman so much. What happened, Bomberman?
Oh, you didn't play the first-person Bomberman for the Xbox? You didn't play that game? It was amazing. You couldn't see shit in the game. It was amazing. So good.
Not as amazing as I am.
Fair enough.
These games are terrible.
Speaking of terrible, what have you guys been playing this week?
I don't know. That just... What?
Absolutely terrible games.
No, I for one have not been playing a terrible game. I have been playing Typing of the Dead.
Ooh.
For the Sega Dreamcast. Yes, that's very right. Nice. Typing of the Dead. It's exactly what it sounds like. Where you take
Type
House of the
your
Dead.
Go nuts.
You exactly. So you take House of the Dead, you take Mavis Beacon's Typing for beginners. You put them together with a Sega Dreamcast keyboard.
Of course.
That exists.
It does.
Legitimately.
Phantasy Star Online. Like, come on. Who didn't
exactly.
have a Sega Dreamcast keyboard?
Or Quake
keyboard?
Live. Maybe you could play Quake Live for it. That's what I used it for.
It's true.
So, yeah. I mean, the Typing for the Dead is House of the Dead for House of the 2, actually, for the Dreamcast. Except for you're using a keyboard and you're typing words. So you're learning as you're killing zombies. So when the zombie apocalypse happens and they want to know how fast you can type, I got 84 words a minute.
Damn. That's pretty good.
You will outrun us all.
That's right. Well, my fingers will. Fingers I'm will. Just going to stand there and be eaten by a zombie because I can't run that fast anymore.
That's
so.
Okay.
But no, it's actually, dude, this game is actually, it's pretty hardcore. Like, it's not something just, it's a typing game. No, it's not. Like, it's legitimately hard. Like, if you go through, like, the boss, kind of like the brigade,
yeah.
where, like, you have to fight boss after boss after boss, like, that, it's hardcore, man. Like, you're not messing around. Like, you're dealing with, like, words that are, like, 12 letters long. And that's, I can't even think of a word that's 12 letters long. And spell it, let alone type it while fighting
zombies,
like a guy with a chainsaw. Yeah, yeah. Or zombies.
Damn.
So, no, it was an interesting idea. It was something that I was actually kind of surprised about with Sega taking one of their more popular franchises and, I mean, essentially turning it into an edumacation game, for lack of a better word, because like you really do learn how to type faster by killing zombies. Like, I would love to put that on my resume. How many words a minute do you type? Well, it depends on how many zombies I'm killing. So you tell me, Mr. Interviewee.
The keyboard is mightier than the sword.
It is. It is, for sure. It's a nice keyboard. It's one of the mechanical style keyboards. Mine's a little yellow. So when I purchased it, I was like, dude, like this thing's yellow. And the guy was like, oh, yeah, if you clean it, it'll be fine. And I'm like, no, I know what this does.
Yep.
I can look at my SNES collection, the games that had Sun. This does not come out. No. So I took it anyway just because it was the cleanest of the ones that were there. But no, I think they even released a, what was it? A Typing for the Dead. Typing of the Dead. What was it? It came out on Steam. Jason, you played it, didn't you?
Yeah. No. The Typing of the Dead Overkill?
Yes. Overkill. That's what it was. Yeah. So like,
haven't played it.
It lives on.
What, I just remember when Sega revealed that game, like, early last year. I totally thought they were bringing, like, Secret of the Ooze back. Dude.
I want the Secret of the Ooze back. Why would you do that to me?
I know. I'm a Sega guy. Like, you're among friends, Hunter.
Wow! That is the first!
I know,
this is the
ever!
First Sega.
I seriously, podcast. Like, I had the Sega channel when I was a kid. I was playing Pulse Man and the Wily Wars before nobody knew what they were.
Yeah, I don't. So you were rich, is what you were saying.
Like
you
had money. My All parents right, spoiled the crap out of me. Can't you tell?
Oh, nice. I can now. I mean, I'm a little upset, actually. Sega Channel Dad. That's what that is.
That's awesome.
Damn it.
Streets know, right? of Rage 2. I had to do it.
It's good.
It is.
Jonathan, go.
Speaking of games that I've been playing in Streets of Rage 2, I played some Streets of Rage 2. Just because I could.
On the Sega Game Gear. Isn't it terrible?
It's the Sega Genesis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
They did make a Game Gear version of that game. But
yeah,
no, I much prefer the console version.
Who's your go-to character?
Oof. For the longest time, I used Skate. Because he was the only one in that damn game that could run. Everybody could run in Streets of Rage 3. But in Streets of Rage 2, it was only Skate. He wasn't very powerful, but he was fast.
Not including the around-the-back, punch you in the face, in the back of the head, and then throwing you down on the ground. Greatest move in that game ever. Please continue.
It's true. I mean, that's
as a lover after my own heart. I mean, come on.
I just can't say enough about Streets of Rage 2, besides the fact that I never owned a physical version of the game. It was always just digital copies through PSN or things like that. I never owned a physical version, and I went to buy a complete and box version on eBay, and dude just sent me the game and not the box.
Oh.
But, hey, it was $10. I'll pay $10 for Streets of Rage 2 and put a smile on my face. I'm
totally
okay with this. But beyond that, have you guys played Mole Mania?
No.
No.
This is, like, I guess you'd call it niche. Not really niche, because it's Nintendo developed and Shigeru Miyamoto developed. But this is a puzzle game where the whole idea is to solve puzzles above and below ground as this plucky little mole who's trying to save his kids from an evil farmer. You put cabbages in holes, move stuff around holes, try to use this ball to break through a wall through the level. It's really not easy to explain, but if you pull up the gameplay footage and look up that stuff, it's so, so good.
That was Game Boy?
It is. And it is on the 3DS Virtual Console. And
okay, cool.
I dabbled in it when it first came out there, but I just recently, because I was sick with the flu this past weekend, I just sat on my couch and was just like, I need to play a game. And I picked up Mole Mania and just didn't stop. The game is extraordinary. Definitely one of my favorite underrated Miyamoto franchises out there.
I'll have to give it a play.
No, you won't.
Yeah, well, I got it on my little N64 thing.
Hey,
oh,
as long as you play it with the music, I'm okay.
That's right, yeah, please. Yeah.
Play no, I'm just gonna turn the sound all the way down.
All the way down.
It hurts my soul.
I know. It hurts my soul.
So bad.
So good. So good. I've been playing, I decided to play, for some reason, Alien Hominid. Does anyone remember that game?
Yeah, that game's great. It came out for the GameCube. It was a Newgrounds flash game.
Yeah, it was a Newgrounds.
Yeah, that game's great.
Yeah, I'd played originally the Newgrounds version, and I remember playing on the PS2.
Ooh.
And the game was tough.
How tough?
It's kind of like old school Nintendo tough. But I decided this past week I was just gonna check out the Game Boy Advance version.
Yeah.
It is somehow worse looking than the 2001 Flash version. Like, I don't know how. It somehow went from, like, crappy internet-hosted Flash to the Game Boy Advance, and they somehow made it worse looking.
I don't know if that surprises me. Have you played the... It's Game Boy Advance, but have you played the Game Boy Advance port of the original Sonic the Hedgehog? Woof.
No.
Woof.
Terrible?
Or Duke Nukem for the Game Boy Color.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah, so it was... Yeah, it's uglier. It loses all the cutscenes, but it also loses the difficulty. Like, in the original version and the PS2 version, the enemies would be shooting constantly.
Yeah, because it's, come a, on scr- it's a run-and-gun game. There's
it's a run-and-gun game.
Yeah,
they don't shoot in this one hardly ever.
Oh. Like, just, so just kind of like picking their nose.
Yeah, you're just kind of killing your way through them and get to the boss at the end of the level. And in the original, you had a certain amount of lives. This one, it seems, you just have unlimited. Like, I died a bunch of times. Like, more than was probably necessary. More than it should have allowed me. And Battles was like, no, just keep going. Just keep shooting this robot.
Wow.
Like,
well, they didn't want the fun to stop.
That's, I guess. It was just, I don't know. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, Alien Hominid is one of those games that when it came out, everybody was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And I was like, it's a Flash game that is awesome, and you've never played it because you refuse to go online and play video games. Like, that was, like, the first game I was like, no, check out Newgrounds. They got a lot of cool shit.
It's great.
Like, what's wrong with you people? Like, come on. Black Albino Sheep isn't as good as it says it is.
No.
Like, Newgrounds is where you need to go.
Yeah.
Stop looking at porn and start playing video games. Online.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that was, it was one of the first games where it was like, oh, you don't have to be a AAA developer to make a game on a console?
This is crazy.
Okay. Well, let's...
Yeah, because I remember playing the original Newgrounds version before, like, years before it ever came to console. I was like, why is this coming out on my console?
Yeah, like, that's what it was, because, like...
What's going on?
Like, I played it on Newgrounds, too, and I was like, yeah, this game's fun. Oh, Newgrounds is, like, putting, like, a banner up, and, like, it's always on the front page. Like, oh, right. It's not that good. Like, it's okay.
It's good, but...
Oh, it's coming out for the Nintendo GameCube and the PlayStation 2. Why? What? It's not that good. Like, it's okay. Like, it's not Contra, you know? No. It's not Metal Slug. It's not Gunstar Hero. It's all right, you know? Like... does it deserve a platform release? Does it?
No.
Because
what game on Newgrounds would you put on a platform then, sir?
I mean, other than the game that has already been put on, you know, a platform, essentially, which is Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
Which, even playing that on Newgrounds before, like, the 360 version came out and the Steam version came out, I was playing that game. I was like, yeah, this game's fun. It's all right. You know, it's not... It's
not the best thing in the world.
It's not going to rearrange my DNA and get me an extra chromosome, but it's okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm waiting for a game to do, you know? It's rearrange like, my DNA.
Is that N... Remember that N Plus game?
Was it?
I think it was called N Plus. It was Wave the Ninja.
I
N Plus.
I heard of it, but I never...
Yeah, that ended, that was online originally, and that ended up coming out for...
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Handhelds?
Like, at any game that's released, you know, in the idea of it's online only, it's Flash only, and now we're going to move it to a platform where people have controllers in their hands and not a keyboard and mouse. Like, I'm all for that. That's fine. But... I think it's funny that every time that these games come out and it's like Sony and Nintendo and Microsoft are making a giant explosion of like, look at all the great indie games we have. And it's like, these games are 6 years old.
Yeah.
Where have you been? You know.
But now you can pay $40.99 for it.
Yeah, because, jeez, you know, I got, you know, Angry Birds for free on my phone. Yeah, it was free to download because it's Angry Birds.
Trilogy comes out on the damn 3DS and they charge $39.99 for it.
Yeah, or you can purchase the trilogy on the Xbox 360 and it's $60. And it's like, listen, Angry Birds, it's not that good of a game.
No.
It's okay if I'm bored when I'm taking a poo and I got nothing else to do. I'm not spending $60 on a Flash game. I'm sorry. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. No, so. It's true. Speaking of spending $60 and taking a poo.
Why did you have to put that bit in there?
Master of segues.
We've got a listener discussion email question. Yeah. It comes from Christopher Schwartz, who's actually watching the podcast tonight.
He is.
Outstanding. Hello, sir.
And he asks, hello, Castle Dwellers. Everyone is going nuts over these Infinity Bowlanders toys right now, and it makes me wonder... Yes, just like that. What is your favorite retro gaming peripheral / add-on? I was always a fan of the Resident Evil 4 chainsaw controller. Mm. Looking forward to listening each week on my commute. Thanks, Chris Schwartz.
Yeah, that chainsaw
Chris
controller.
Chris A. Schwartz.
It's pretty good.
So what was your favorite?
As terrible as this is going to sound, as a child, I was always a big fan of the Nintendo U-Force. For you guys, you know what the U-Force is? The U-Force, it was advertised as being a, you are the controller.
Oh, God.
You can push your hands on certain spots of this clamshell-ish book thing that will recognize your movements. And there's a little bar for Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. You can punch people. I thought it was great for this only reason, which was... when we got it and we got the games to use it for, I was actually taking karate, more specifically taekwondo.
Ooh.
For those who want to know. And I thought it was so awesome to be able to do like my moves in front of this U-Force thing. And it kind of sort of not really worked. It really didn't work. But as a kid, I was like, oh my God, Mario's jumping. Amazing. Like, this is amazing. If I do an uppercut, the Battletoad will... not do anything because the game, the stupid controller didn't work. But the presentation of it was pretty impressive because you could actually put in a little like flight stick, joystick thing that on either side had these little flashers that apparently was supposed to flash light to the sensors at the bottom. So if you're playing like a flight simulator style game like Top Gun or something like that. Yeah. Moving back and forth and flashing those little sensors was supposed to activate missiles or, you know, like boosts of some kind, yeah. Something like that. But it was one of the many things that Nintendo had okayed and never worked, much like Rob the Robot or the Power Glove or the Rock and Rolla or the little headset where you're supposed to scream fire into. I can't remember the name of the thing.
I remember that. I don't remember the name of it, but I have this vivid memory of screaming fire and nothing.
Yeah, it was a scary contraption that you'd put on your head, and then, you know, like the whole BSDM thing would start. So, no, it was, but that U-Force, for whatever reason, anytime I grabbed it, I was like, oh my God, this is the power of Nintendo right here in my hands. And then it never worked. So,
sweet.
U-Force.
New for the Wii U.
I really don't know if I even have an answer for this question, because I'm not really an add-on guy. I can, like, go on a side tangent about, like, I don't know, the Game Boy player on the GameCube that let me play my Game Boy Advance games on the big screen.
That's an add-on.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Wait, talk about Mad Catz controllers.
Oh,
go.
Yes. Gracious.
Were you ever that guy that was like, all right, you guys ready to play? We got four of us here. We're playing Smash Brothers. You are getting the Mad Catz controller. It was all down there.
Have a Mad Catz bag. That's about the best I can do.
Nice.
There were probably lots of Mad Catz things in this Mad Catz bag at one point, but they have been lost in the seas of time.
So you threw him away, is what you're saying.
Probably. Yeah, the cat wasn't mad anymore, and then I just let it go free.
The Z was edgy. That's what it was.
What about you, Jason?
You know what? I was actually going to mention it's probably going to be one of the... That's going to say it was the Game Boy player for the GameCube.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's
sorry
good,
to
man.
Steal your thunder
just,
there.
Just even the one for the Super Nintendo where you could put slot the cartridge
Game
where
Boy?
You could put your Game Boy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, as a kid, I thought, holy crap, this is amazing. I'm able to now double the amount of games I can play on my television.
Here's trivia. Well, not necessarily trivia, but the reason I have the Sega Channel is because I never once owned a Super Nintendo as a kid. I was a Sega kid through and through, and I didn't get to play games like Chrono Trigger, Super Metroid, A Link to the Past, etc., etc., until 2006 when they were released on the Wii Virtual Console. And that's why I own nothing but a Wii from 2006 to 2012, where I was pretty much exclusively a retro gamer for 6 years.
Yes.
It was greatness.
Wow. Not only were you an exclusive retro player, but you were a Wii exclusive player.
That is correct.
Which is hilarious.
It's true.
Wow.
Nice.
No, man, that Game Boy player for the GameCube, I mean, that was being able to play those Game Boy Advance games on a big screen TV. Like,
that's awesome.
Always my dream. Like, if I could get my Game Gear to play on my TV, or if I could get, you know, just that, the, what is it? Oh, I've got, like, this crappy little donkey, like, 301 retro game, little crappy, I don't even know what the hell it's called.
I like those plug-and-play, like, Atari type things.
Yeah, but they are, but it's 100%, like, just copyright infringement written all over it.
Sweet.
But it's great to play, but I can't play it like on an HD TV because it just the signals don't make any sense to it. So,
right.
Like, I'm running that risk of like I'm forcing myself into a corner where I have to start emulating this stuff because I'm terrible at modding. I'm afraid I'm going to burn my house down if I try to do it because you need a flamethrower to get that stuff working, right? That's what I've been told. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Totally.
They passed out the flamethrowers to everyone, and they just skipped some of us.
Yeah. So, like, that's what I'm worried about. So now I'm walking around, you know, downtown Cincinnati with a flamethrower. I'm getting arrested. You know, it's, you know, like
you just
cops are
to
pointing
be
guns
like
at
those
me.
Guys in General Chaos. There's another obscure Sega Genesis game.
But it's an amazing Sega Genesis.
It is.
You kids and your Segas.
General Chaos is amazing, okay? For the only fact that you get to choose your army that you take with you before each mission, and the best army is to take is the assault rifle guy and the grenade throwing guy. If you can two guy it against an army of five, you are a master at that game. Oh, so good. So
you're
good.
Welcome for that nostalgia.
Oh, man, that just going to go now. It's not going to get any better than now. But no, so yeah, like it's us as retro gamers, it's becoming a harder stance to keep playing because with the technology, the way it goes, like sure, there's a lot of stuff that comes out. It's like, oh, you could turn your NES or Super NES or Genesis into an, you know, an S video or an HD TV output. Like, I don't want that. Like, I sure as hell don't want to rebuy everything for like the Xbox One or the PS4 or the Wii U. Like, I really don't want.
Yeah, you're already on it.
Yeah. So I'm coming to that point where it's like I'm running out of options, and the only thing that makes sense really is emulation and like a Raspberry Pi or something like that, because I've spent enough money on these guys that somebody should just hand me something and say, thank you for being the gamer that you are, and we appreciate you, and, you know, God bless, and, you know, go Team Sonic or something. And nobody's going to do that for me, so I have to take my destiny in my own hands. And that's what I'm planning on doing. So,
right.
How was that Nintendo 64 USB working for you, Jason?
It's working pretty well. I'm almost done. sort of.
So how much do you want for it, I guess, is the question.
How much do I want for it? Not...
We're going to sell it live on the air.
Yeah. Wait. Wait. Does it come with a U-Force?
For $80, I could build something into it that would act like a U-Force, but would actually work.
I've actually got $80 to give to you.
That's true. Force your way into his heart.
Sweet. I'm gonna have to start selling this.
What, the Eric shop? Look at all the shit I've made for you. Please buy it. Okay.
Buy it, Eric. All right.
Like, come on, man. Like, that's a terrible idea.
Lamb shop rhymes with lamb shop. Oh, it's catchy.
Done. Done.
It's too much. Lamb shop.
Done.
It's too much.
I think it's time for a musical break. Welcome back. That interlude track, well, somewhat different than what we normally hear, was a Raptor Call of the Shadows remix by, I'm going to pronounce this somewhat incorrectly, but can read it properly on the One More Castle page. That was remixed by the Orcalocalon. Orcalcon. Orcalcon. You can find it over at OCR Remix, which you'll find the link. And that combined the Wave 2 music from Raptor Call of the Shadows with Listen to the Cries of the Planet from Final Fantasy VII.
That's a decent
game.
Actually
pretty nice. It's pretty decent. It's all right. All right, before we begin our retro showdown, our winner from 2 weeks ago, episode 117, favorite fighting game was...
this guy.
Dustin Faber.
Oh!
With Virtua Fighter 2, narrowly beating out Eric's Colosseum and My Bloody War Primal Fury by one vote. That's right, we tied, Eric.
How could we tie? I brought Colosseum.
That's a Colosseum. Double whammy for the Juggernaut.
Damn it. So yeah, I guess people like Virtua Fighter 2.
Why?
Apparently.
It's an amazing game.
Jerks.
I mean, it's whatever.
But... for this week.
Retro Showdown!
Our theme is games with announcers. So that's basically games where someone is announcing something. I'm not sure how much clearer I can be with that. If you don't understand the concept of an announcer, I'm not sure if you've understood 90% of the things I have said in the last 12 minutes.
It's okay, though. We still love you.
We do. We still love you.
What? What? Just, we're gonna leave you on a curve.
Hunter doesn't love you.
We're gonna leave you. We're gonna leave you in a dumpster. Let's just.
All right. Oh, so I guess I'll start the stopwatch up. All right. I guess I'll begin. My game this week comes at the cutoff point of what we define as retro. A little old, a little new, a little something, something blue. This game basically was the only competitor to Quake in the competitive shoot people in the face scene, which was a great scene. It's Unreal Tournament 2004, and by perhaps I mean the best Unreal Tournament. Introducing vehicles, a number of game modes, great graphics, an online multiplayer that still runs to this day. Unreal Tournament featured announcers that would yell out your kill streaks. Not only that, it ran on Windows, it ran on Mac, and it even ran on Linux. It truly was the greatest computer shooter game there ever was. It's Unreal Tournament 2004.
Ouch. Jason, your pick is unreal.
Oh. Could even be a tournament of sorts.
I know.
Oh. So.
May the best man win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hunter.
It's going to be me. Yeah. What? Sorry.
Huh? Are you ready?
Yes.
You may begin.
Welcome back to the stage of history. Yes, it's a launch title for the greatest console to have ever lived, the Sega Dreamcast. This victory is strengthened the soul of whoever chooses this title for the retro showdown. It can be only Namco's beautiful creation, Soul Calibur. Filled with multiple characters to choose from and the perfect pitch of fighting combat, Soul Calibur is a testament to the fighting game genre. Over. Battle one, fight, you win! You may be seriously wounded, but the soul still burns. It's Soul Calibur for the Sega Dreamcast.
Huh. Fair enough.
Delicious.
I guess that means it's my turn.
Yep. Are you ready?
I am totally ready. Just let me know when to begin.
You may begin.
Besides just an announcer, this gigantic beast of a Nintendo 64 game features 10 modes of play, 9 unique minigames, multiplayer capabilities, a unique peripheral that helped 2 Nintendo systems work together, and so much more. In North America, it's a sequel to a game that was never released outside of Japan. But don't let that fool you. It helped shape the childhood of the entire world. Featuring the voice talents of a man you've heard on Yu-Gi-Oh!, G.I. Joe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shadow Hearts, and more, this particular announcer has become legendary to fans of this particular franchise, even 15 years later. I'm going to win the Retro Showdown by a rock slide, not a landslide, because I brought Pokemon Stadium, the first and greatest Pokemon game, 3D Pokemon game, ever made.
Stupid Pokemon.
So it goes, stupid gentlemen.
Pokemon.
Pokemon Stadium.
Still, people still want this game to be recreated.
They
still
do. I'm one of those people.
Now, as someone who'd never had Pokemon Stadium because they didn't have a Game Boy, was it literally just taking the Pokemon from your Game Boy and just putting it in 3D in battles?
There's so much more you can do in that game. Clefairy's a teacher. Diglett digs. There's so much stuff.
So it's like a $60 texture pack.
Wow. That is. I would have.
Now that's. You know what?
Listen.
That's that is
the
original.
You guys were hyping up
content.
The Game Boy player at the beginning of this year's show. This game featured the transfer pack where you can stick your Pokemon game into your Nintendo 64 controller and play it on the big screen.
You know what, though? At least the Game Boy player let me play every single Game Boy game I owned.
Sure.
Not just one.
No, that's true. It's true.
What's the point of Game Boy games that aren't Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow? Oops, I said it.
Damn.
Went there. I mean, there's lots of, you know, like Link's Awakening and Super Mario Land and Metroid.
True.
Mega Man Battle Network. For the Game Boy.
Oh, okay. Now stop it. That's just
you jumped
gone
ahead
too
about
far.
11 years.
I'm so jonesing far. To play through those games again. I can't wait.
Oh, those games are terrible.
I've got them. Yep.
Of course you do, Jason.
Of course I do.
Of course you do.
Yeah. So it's just is that literally it? Did it add like new game modes? Did
I mean?
Or was it
looking at it?
No.
It takes your Pokemon, your friends that you've made on your Pokemon journey. And you can see them come to life with the incredible graphical ambiance of the Nintendo 64. What more could you want?
Which is a joke in itself, just so you yes. know.
I mean, the yellow version Pikachu says Pikachu when he comes out of his Pokeball. All the cries sound more realistic than they ever have before, and ever will again.
Is it super effective?
It is super effective.
Okay. All right, good. Good. No, it's Pokemon Stadium to me was kind of a no-brainer. Like, how do you not make this game? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially after playing, you know, Blue and Red and Yellow, and you know, I've you know played those games, and I've played against people with the network connector cable with the Game Boy and. You know, playing against different trainers and stuff, like it's kind of the Pokemon Stadium is kind of a necessary evil. The one thing, and this really is the one thing about this game that I've always had a problem with, is you know right away what Pokemon your enemy has from the beginning of the match. Like, that's always been. I don't know if it's just the fact that it's I don't know. Like, I don't know what it means. Like, it to me, like, it feels like if I'm playing this game and I'm playing against a trainer, like, I shouldn't know what Pokemon they have. Right? Because that is part of the game, is like, okay, do I really have the best team? You know, do I have the Pokemon that I need to have to win this match? And can I make the right decisions during the match to overcome whatever challenges that are presented before me? And with Pokemon Stadium, you know right away what your enemy has in terms of Pokemon. And, like, that is such a downer as a Pokemon trainer, because it's like, oh, well, I mean, it just, you know.
Right, but, like, you don't know what order he's going to draw his Pokemon in. You don't know whether that Charizard's going to come out first, or whether you're going to send out your Blastoise and he's going to send out his Raichu or something. You don't know. The battle is unpredictable. And to be honest, Eric, like, that is still a problem to this day. In the more recent Pokemon games, you can still see your entire opponent's team before you face them. But the whole draw of the battle is in what order will the Pokemon go out. You don't know. There is still plenty of unpredictability.
But, I mean, even so, like, okay, even if you don't know what the order is, at the most, you're giving up a single turn just to change out your mm-hmm. Pokemon. Is it really that big of a deal?
It is. I promise, as somebody who fights competitively with Pokemon and who has watched all the championships and stuff like that, it is. There are so many snot-nosed teenagers or fully grown college kids who will all say the same thing.
All right, maybe.
One turn
maybe.
Can make or break your Pokemon match, sir.
Fair enough.
All right. I mean, it could be a terrible substitute for Quake 3 Live. I mean, it could be.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Unreal Tournament is. That's fine.
It's true. I mean, I like you, Jason. I do. Like, there's much respect, but it's not Quake 3. What are you doing?
I don't get Pokemon Stadium.
How could you not get Pokemon? I'm not even a Pokemon fan, and I get Pokemon Stadium.
I get it. Anyway. Did you say Quake 3 of all the Quakes?
Yes!
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, all right, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah, it was better than Quake 3.
Yeah, Quake 3 Arena. I mean, that's the only game we're talking about.
Then you had to go buy Team Arena.
You get, man,
let's put it this way.
You can't compare Unreal Tournament and Quake 3 Arena.
Totally
no.
Let's put it this way. Quake 3 came out, and then Unreal Tournament came out. Roughly around the same time.
It's true.
How many sequels to Quake have we gotten since?
Okay, I see what you're getting at. Meaning that, you know, the more sequels, the more eyeballs that are playing the game. Yeah. But realistically, it's you have to create more sequels because there's so many bugs and terrible fighting mechanics in the game. You're constantly trying to fix it. That's where the sequels come from.
Would you rather, Mr. Lamb, a game have a billion sequels and come out once a year, like many modern favorites, such as Assassin's Creed Unity, and things that get those once a year sort of rehashes?
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Or
are you
your
one
game
of those
can
guys?
Be a hidden gem unearthed throughout the ages for someone who knows their history. You have to dig deep to understand and love Quake.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the sequels. I want more. If I like a game that bad, I want multiple. Let's put
really?
It this way.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm not saying every year, but Unreal Tournament comes out every...
It's every couple of years, at least.
4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
2004, and then came out 2007.
I mean, not to say that, you know, Unreal Tournament... I mean, obviously, there's a demographic there that it's hitting, yeah. And it's popular enough for people to keep playing and keep buying, and I get that. And I've been an Unreal Tournament fan of the day, especially with 2004, because that title seemed to be the pinnacle when they like finally crossed the line and was like, all right, here's how it's gonna work. And you're like, oh yeah, this all works great, thank you, like I appreciate the competitive combat. But at that point you have to realize that you've got games, and especially in 2004, games like Halo 2 and Halo 3 that have come out, Halo 3 is going to come out, and you've got Quake 3 Arena or Quake Live or whatever you want to call it, and like you've got those fan bases, and then suddenly there's like Unreal Tournament, and you bring a title out like this out to try to combat and to bring those users in to your database. To be like, no, you want to play Unreal Tournament. And Unreal Tournament is a way better name than Quake. I'm just going to throw that out there. Like, that's such a cooler name.
Yeah.
And Halo. Like, no, I don't. Unreal. That's the bomb. That's what I want to play. I want it to be Unreal. But it ends up being a copycat at the end of the night. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's nothing in this game that it can't find anywhere else that's done better. Except for maybe the multiplayer.
Comparing
Unreal Tournament
Quake
is all multiplayer.
To Unreal Tournament is like comparing Pokemon to Digimon.
I mean, there's a lot of things about Digimon that are much better than Pokemon.
No. So, listen, Hunter, you're just angry that you brought a fighting game for the Sega console where they pretty much said, you know what, we don't have to make good D-pads anymore.
No! That is not true.
Where you can just give up, and no one's going to buy this console, so let's, you know, we don't need a good D-pad. Don't.
The Sega Dreamcast, hands down, had the best of all time launch titles of any console in history.
I'm not talking launch titles. I'm talking the fact you can't play this launch title the way you want because the D-pad sucks.
Why are you going to be using the D-pad, man? You got that analog stick right there.
I'm playing a fighting game. Why are you using an analog stick?
Why aren't you using an analog stick?
Because fighting games deserve a D-pad.
That's not true at all.
Oh, they do. If you don't have the D-pad, you better have the arcade
stick. Unabashed Dreamcast fanboy. You can't play fighters on the Dreamcast.
Oh, yes, you can.
No.
Yes, you can. Super Street Fighter 2 Master is the only game worth playing when it comes to Street Fighter console games. And guess what console it came out for?
The Sega Dreamcast. It's thinking.
Still to this day, it's still thinking.
I don't know. That just sounds terrible.
It's Soul Calibur, man.
Oh, it's Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
Soul Calibur would later on include fighters like Link.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going to go.
Who would think to put Link in a fighting game other than HAL Laboratories and Nintendo with, you know, Smash Brothers? Let's just not talk about that. But
it didn't feature Sonic because the Dreamcast.
Sonic sucks, man. Sonic is so bad.
Yeah, he is.
Like, come on. It's like fighting against the Flash. Like, come on.
Why
really?
Can I picture that in my head so vividly right now?
Like, who's going to win this battle? It doesn't matter. The Flash can slow down time or speed up time, however you want to look at it, and just beat you to a living pulp. It's not satisfactory to a seasoned fighter such as myself who hasn't touched a newer fighting game since probably Soul Calibur for the Sega Dreamcast.
At least expert. You know what you like.
Expert. That's the greatest announcer of any fighting game.
Because we can go into the nuances of our games as various announcers. You can't find something more infamous than the Pokemon Stadium announcer. He has his own section of soundboard.com, for goodness sake.
That's not true.
Oh, yes, it is. You can pull that up right now.
Soundboard.com. All right, Jonathan, this is porn. I'm looking at porn.
Damn.
Do not go to soundboard.com. It's nothing but porn. What do I search for? Pokemon Stadium? Is that what I'm doing?
Pokemon Stadium announcer. Go ahead.
Announcer. Let's see if this comes up. Oh, we're going to see. Ooh, I clarify that I am 13 years old. Well, that's not. Oh. Ouch. It's a Golbat? Really? That's the image is a Golbat? Come on, man.
I mean.
Things are loading. I'm waiting. Jason, continue, please.
Your D-pad sucks.
What is wrong with my D-pad? My D-pad has done nothing for you.
You know, exactly. It literally did nothing for me.
D-pad of all, did nothing? It has no direction?
No. Well, this listen, Pokemon if you're Sega and you've come off having some a great D-pad, Genesis D-pad is great.
Not as good as Super Nintendo. Now that I have the controller.
No, well, the problem you run into is, do you go for the static D-pad or do you go for the disc D-pad? Because the Genesis had that disc D-pad and it worked for Genesis games. But if you try using it for like other games that aren't Genesis based, you know, that's not signifying the B button as the central point of the controller and using it for everything else. Like, it doesn't work, man. But like, the 360 controller, the D-pad's terrible, mainly because it's a disc D-pad. Like, the Ouya, which I haven't spoken of for many, many months, because it hasn't been plugged in for many, many months. But one of the biggest downfalls of that console was the controller. One of those reasons being is the D-pad was a circle disc D-pad. And I remember reading a Kickstarter email that they sent out, and they were like, oh, we've revolutionized the D-pad. We've listened to your comments, and we've decided to change the D-pad from its amazing, spectacular, static NES, Super NES D-pad that everybody loves to the crappy disc D-pad that everybody hates. Please buy the Ouya. And I couldn't take my money back because I already purchased it. But
that choice.
Just so everybody knows, Pokemon Stadium Announcer is on soundboard.com, and it is pretty hilarious.
Thank you. Thank you for that validation, sir.
It's pretty funny.
It's not as though I'm not going to get all the votes anyway, because Pokemon is in the title.
We've had Pokemon lose before.
It won't lose.
Have we?
When I'm on the show.
Yeah, we have. It's lost. Yeah, Pokemon. That's the worst Pokemon title.
It's by the far. Best Pokemon
no,
title.
On,
how many
no,
people want this game
no,
to come back?
Nobody want. No. Okay. Yes. Do people want this game to come back? Yes. I agree. But are they, you know, rummaging after this game like they do like Red, Blue, Yellow, Ruby or Fire Ruby or one of those? No, Fire Red.
Oh, Leaf Green.
Leaf Green was the other one. Like those are the titles. I mean, hell, even like Crystal and Sapphire, people are going nuts about now. Which I mean, if you ask me, that's just way too many Pokemon to capture, and that's I gotta catch them
all. 719 so far, and I've got every last one of them.
Holy crap!
That's ridiculous, and this is coming from somebody who has played Sierra point and click games, who couldn't wait to get 999 points on that stupid little counter that means absolutely nothing in the game. Like, that is way too many Pokemon to catch.
It is, and it's taken me a long time. Like, yeah, entire presidencies and relationships have all formed in my Pokemon journey.
That's crazy. Final arguments.
Oh, no.
Jonathan, why should people vote for Pokemon I'm a Texture Pack?
It's the best texture pack to ever texture pack. It revolutionized Nintendo 64. It revolutionized Pokemon. It revolutionized everything. And yes, I am making a quip to the not-so-great Pokemon Stadium wannabe for Nintendo Wii called Pokemon Battle Revolution. That's not Pokemon Stadium. You should vote for Pokemon Stadium because you're going to vote for the good stuff.
Hunter, why should people vote for Namco's I've chosen the wrong console, Soul Calibur?
I don't know what that means. Because it's Soul Calibur. One of the finer points in the fighting genre. And not only is it on the greatest console to ever live, that is, my friends, the Sega Dreamcast. No, that's it. That's all I need.
Nice.
Sega Dreamcast. So
you should all vote for Unreal Tournament 2004 because
Quake Live.
Not only is it better than Quake.
It's not.
It's not.
It is.
It's no.
No.
It's
better
than Quake.
That was so bad.
God, it's so better. The announcer is even better than Quake.
No,
yeah, it is. Wait, is it a gravelly, you know, like 30 something male, correct?
That probably is.
Yeah, so I mean, it's probably the same guy.
Same guy.
When
same
the announcer can be voiced by one of you two.
Yeah, I mean, if, you know, if somebody paid me to say humiliation, like I'm gonna take that money and I'm gonna run with it.
Unreal Tournament 2004. That's it for episode 119. Remember, email us your podcast discussion questions at podcast@walmartcastle.com. You can find us weekly. We'll have great new episodes.
It's true.
Jonathan, do you have any self-promotion, any shout-outs you'd like to give?
You can follow me on Twitter @RadicalDefect. And you can find my Pokemon-centric ramblings and more great stuff like that at a little place called Game Podunk. It's where I do all my writing these days. Although I am pretty freelance, but that's that.
Sweet.
That is that.
Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on Twitter as well, @EricHunter. For all things me, just check out my Catch 'em All website, ericmhunter.net.
You can follow me on Twitter @JasonLamb, and I'm going to give a shout out. You know what?
I don't know, Jason. That's why we're asking you.
No. Yeah, I'm going to give a shout out to Valerie Minnick.
What did she do?
She was also offended by my lack of love for Pokemon Stadium because I just don't get it.
I don't either.
And that's it. That's episode 119. And remember, you are a bad enough dude. Good night.